a passionate instigator and dynamic problem solver. Dr. Kevin Ross Emery, the host of the Dr. Kevin Radio Show, will be taking you outside the box, behind the curtain, and identifying the load of BS we are fed every day. And now, Dr. Kevin.
Hello, 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 and welcome to the Dr. Kevin Show. The last Dr. Well, actually, not the last Dr. Kevin Show of the month. We still have one more Thursday this month. It's a full Thursday's month. So, anyways, welcome to the Dr. Kevin Show here on OM Time, where we like to change the world. Wait for it. One OM at a time. Here on the Dr. Kevin Show, we try to bring you cutting-edge ideas, thoughts, people, and things that are going to help you live a better life, give you more information with which to make better decisions, and help you to step up and be your greatest empowered self. If you would like to be part of this conversation, remember this is a live call-in show. The number is 202-570-7057. That's 202-570-7057. We will be getting to tonight's guest in just a moment. But as always, we start here with our hot topic. For those of you who are joining us for the first time, our hot topic is something that either warms the cockles of my heart or gets me all hot and bothered. And so as we say that, tonight's hot topic, I will be presenting it, and then we were going to ask tonight's guest to comment on it, and then we'll do a full introduction, and we'll get this show underway. So I think that one of the things is that tonight's hot topic did for me was make it clear in another way how much our lives mean so little to the people in Washington. That we don't count except for voting time. We're lied to at voting time. We're promised lots of stuff from everybody. Very little of it ever gets delivered. And they actually, everybody, profits in Washington, profits off this constipated government we have created. This is the worst case of constipation I have seen in years. And you know what constipation means? It means you're full of shit. And Washington has more of it flowing than it has ever had. Tonight's guest is actually going to be talking about health issues, and we're going to see if she might have a quick remedy for an oversized enema that we could feed to Washington, D.C. to see if we can get some of this shit flowing, because it is thoroughly disgusting. Now we are getting more and more evidence of what happened on January 6th, and the lies are just up to my eyeballs of people reversing exactly opposite of what they said right after it happened, the experience they had. And now we've got evidence that there were guns. And this wasn't the most peace-loving, peaceful people that you ever saw just going expressing concern because their poor, wounded, oversized child lost. And they just couldn't take enough, I don't know, antipsychotics to accept it, something along the way. And now they're playing the game of, well, it's going to be partisan because we won't put people on the committee except for the people that are going to do nothing but try to trash this committee and have made it well known. Oh, what do you mean you don't want them? You don't want the ones that have already accused you that this committee is just going to be all lies and partisanship? You don't want them as as part of your committee to try to get truthful answers? Oh, please. I am so sick and tired of this game. And it is at the cost of the American people, the American taxpayer, the American future. It cost us in lives by the bungling of COVID. It cost us in our pocketbook. It cost us in our respectability. And it goes on and on and on. And a handful of people are responsible for the majority of people that are in Washington. And that those hands, they don't have my fingerprints on it. Maybe tonight's guest is one of the big hands that make all those. I don't know. We'll ask her. But tonight's guest is somebody who actually has written a book. And this book that she has written is actually about why are you sick, fat, and tired? Find out now. Well, I have a funny feeling that she's not going to tell me that the number one reason is because of the constipation in D.C., but I could be surprised. On that note, tonight's guest is Dr. Pat Vallone, a D.C., a CCSP, a MAOM, an AP, a CFLP, a CFMP. He's a coach, speaker, author, functional medicine expert, and lifestyle medicine strategist. You can find out more about her at healthteamnetwork.com. That is healthteamnetwork.com. Or you can call in today and talk to her. Again, 202-570-7057. So if you are sick, fat, and tired, tonight is your lucky night. Because we have an expert on the show that's going to teach you how to be energized, healthy, and thin. Dr. Pat, how are you?
I'm doing great. That was the best introduction. Thank you so much. I love being here.
So what do you think? Do we have an enema recipe for Washington, D.C. we can use?
Well, you know, one of my last dates, I used to live in D.C., one of my last dates on Match.com when I lived there was with this guy who was it was a French company. I don't remember the name of the French company, but they were putting cameras all over D.C. And so they're to read irises. This is like back in 2012 or something like that. And he was so proud of this fact. And I said, so let me ask you a question. Can those cameras see through sunglasses? And I put my sunglasses on. And, you know, just like, and where are they? You know, like, how do you know? Can you tell if they are and that type of thing? But, you know, D.C. is one of the most corrupt places I've ever seen in my life. And you know, even I tried to get licensure in D.C. and the board, the head of the medical board called me up and told me I would never get a license. And then she proceeded to run the shredder, you know, and the next morning I had my deposit, my money to get my license back from them, you know, so it was there. It was the most like bizarre thing. And I talked to one of my chiropractic mentors and he goes, that's illegal. I said, it was one of the most corrupt places I've ever lived in my life. And it was pretty evident.
Now you know what's making me fat, and you know what I'm sick and tired of.
for sure, you know. And I had a friend who had a lobbyist friend like the cybersecurity.
Okay.
And so the part of the cybersecurity, like the company that this woman worked for, that was the partner of this other woman, you know, they identified way before the Chinese thing happened, and that administration at that time didn't want anything to do with it.
Yep. Well, it doesn't surprise me, you know. But we're going to move on to happier.
Okay.
We're going to move on to happier conversations, more positive conversations. We're going to talk about positive things like sick and tired and fat. I mean, those are all, you know, they're at least three steps up from any conversation we can have about D.C. Unless you want to add fat heads, then that might qualify for a D.C. conversation. Anyways, go ahead. So the first question I like to ask my guests. And you can do it on anything you want. You can do it as a reference to your book, or you can talk about the colors of Daisy. I don't care. But where would you like to take my listeners outside the box? Where would you like to introduce a concept that you don't think they know?
I think people don't know that they're sick. And you know, and that's pretty evident in the last year and a half, that people have this, you know, imagination of what being healthy is. But they really don't know if their organs are functioning 100% of the time, which is the Webster Dictionary definition of health, you know. And even WHO, you know, the World Health Organization, they went and defined what it was a similar definition at the time, and in the 80s they were pressured to define it more clearly, and they, when they defined it more clearly, they went into the prospect of the environment. You know, it's not just like the venue to like do your life, but there's a lot of sick people walking around that don't know that they're sick. You can see it.
Well, and you know, and that sickness, I mean, are you talking about just physiologically, or are you talking about psychologically, emotionally, and spiritually? Because I think they're sick on all the levels and don't know it today.
Oh, I think they're sick on all levels also, but I think a lot of people think that they're normal, you know, or that they have, like, you know, I'm healthy. And because people have said to me regarding my book, people have said to me, like, oh, I'm not sick, I'm not fat, I'm not tired, so why would I want to buy your book? And I said, the reason why you want to buy my book is because you're, you know, it's just like, you don't know if you're sick. You know if you're fat, basically, and you know if you're tired, but you don't know if you're sick.
Well, and I think that one of the things, here that we really want to keep in mind is that we have created in this country a norm of fat, sick, and tired that contributes, and a food pyramid that contributes, and national recommendations that contribute, and an insurance system that almost guarantees that it's going to happen, that makes fat, sick, and tired normal. I mean, all of the cards are stacked against trying to get and keep healthy. Would you say that's a fair statement?
I think it's a very fair statement. I mean, just look at the food that you have that's available to, you know, at your access. I just came out of Northeast Pennsylvania, and a friend of mine was trying to talk me into saying, like, you know, you should really consider moving here. And yesterday, I had to go get some more water, so I went to the local grocery store, and I asked, I said, is there another grocery store besides that grocery store? And he said, no. And I said, I can't move here. And he said, well, I said, that's the worst grocery store I've ever seen. There is nothing in there that has any value nutritionally. It was horrible.
Yep.
So, you know, if and a lot of people, like, live in those situations like that all the time. You know, they have, you know, they have, you know, I've had some property out in the western part of the Midwest, and I can remember walking in a grocery store one time out there, and I had that same feeling. I go, oh, my God, I got to sell this stuff. We can get out of here. But,
so,
you know, it's go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, so let me ask you this question. Is there a something simple that somebody could look and go, oh, maybe I'm not as healthy as I thought? Is there some easy test or easy thing you could ask them to observe, or something that would be that my listeners
one
would go,
thing.
Oh.
One thing that people don't do is, I mean, one thing that they could do is they could buy my book, you know, and they could go through it, because it's all the organ systems, and it's a survey of them, and it's very specific. But, you know, if you're looking at, like, what people should, you know, feel, a lot of people don't have any clue as to their, you know, they're not aware of their body. So they have, hang on one second, they have systems that are in place that they don't, you know, they'll fluff it off. They will be in denial. They'll ask their friends, hey, you know, I've been having this sign and symptom lately, and, you know, now I have this thing going on, you know, and they'll go, oh, no, don't worry about that. You know, there's, that, you know, you've had that before. It's just like, it goes away. And then 2 years later, they still don't have it. And then they're going to get some type of test from, you know, in Western medicine that's supposed to satisfy these people, because they don't know the right question to ask. They don't know the verbiage to ask. They don't talk the language that a doctor can talk. And you only have 15 minutes with the guy. right? So if you don't ask the right question, you're walking out of there and your spouse or your significant other is asking, well, what happened? You know, and he's, I don't know. I can't tell you how many times I've had, when I still have my office and I had patients coming back to me and saying to me that they had, you know, they went to go see them. I said, well, what did he say? I don't know. I'm not sure. He just wants to do some tests.
Well,
so I think people are railroaded, you know, in thinking, you know, what they think health is or health isn't. And, you know, when they're going into what Western medicine is, because they diagnose basically by, you know, a symptom. It's, you know, doctor-centered, it's diagnosis-centered, everyone's treated the same. You know, in functional medicine, lifestyle medicine, that's not the case.
So that is someplace, and we're probably within the next 2 minutes, we're probably going to be on our first break. So I'm going to not have you start to answer this question, but I would definitely like to get a more full and better explanation of what you mean by functional medicine. It's a term that's getting kicked around a lot, but I think that people don't really understand what that is. And I'm hearing the beginning of our first break. We're going to be right back after this break with Dr. Pat. Why are you sick, fat, and tired? Find out now. And she's going to tell us all about functional medicine here on the Dr. Kevin Show.
Conscious media for conscious minds. Om Times. Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at ascendinghearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going Om? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers, pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
COVID-19, brought to you by CDC and the Ad Council.
If you're feeling increasingly lonely right now, you're not alone. It's totally normal. Even though we may not be able to get together in person, connecting virtually with friends and family still gives you a chance to interact with people and may help raise your spirits. Join a virtual book club, set up group text chats, or online video coffee breaks with coworkers.
Find more self-care and coping tips at coping-19.org.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Dr. Kevin Show here on Om Times. Remember that this is a live call-in show. You can call in at 202-570-7057. And why are you sick, fat, and tired? Find out now. A new book out by Dr. Pat Vallone. She is with us tonight, and she is talking about these things here on the Dr. Kevin Show. And you can call with her questions. And Dr. Pat, I asked you to give my listeners an idea of what do you mean by functional medicine, and how is it different from what they're used to getting?
Well, I'm just going to do conventional medicine versus functional medicine and tie it into how lifestyle medicine fits in that also, because it kind of feeds off of the functional medicine aspect of that. So I'm just going to, one time I heard Mark Hyman say, and Mark Hyman was the head of the Functional Medicine Institute for quite a while, and he has a large practice in Lenox, Massachusetts. And he said that the roadmap that they were given in medical school to navigate through the territory of illness was absolutely the wrong map. It taught doctors to diagnose diseases and assign standardized treatment no matter who was suffering. It's the wrong approach. It's a map that sends you in the wrong direction every time. Functional medicine, on the other hand, is the science of a system biology, all the organ systems, in a practical setting. It's a system that fundamentally changes how you think about the whole paradigm, like the world is round, not flat, and changes the approach about the way that you think and how you treat and address the human body so that you can really treat the root of the problem. Because functional medicine, lifestyle medicine also, goes to the root of the problem. It's health-oriented, it's patient-centered, it's holistic. It looks at underlying causes for the disease, the root problem, bio-individuality, preventative approach. And the preventative approach goes into the lifestyle medicine component of it, because in lifestyle medicine, it's the primary choice for treatment of diseases and is endorsed by the NIH as essential for treatment of disease, effective as medications without the risk of undesirable side effects. So that includes, like, you know, the basics are diet, exercise, targeted supplementation, and you use medical foods, and then you would consider a Western medicine approach, which is disease-oriented, doctor-centered, everyone's treated the same. It's very specialized, so you have, like, you know, cardiologists, and then you have, you know, endocrinologists, that type of thing. Diagnoses are based upon symptoms, not the root problem, and they usually go by early detection. So if you go by early detection, like, you know, in cancer, they're telling people they're surviving a lot longer. It doesn't necessarily mean that ultimately.
And how much of this, your involvement with functional medicine, led you to write this book and come up with the premise of the premises that are in the book?
Well, you know, I had
a major factor, a side factor.
Well, you know, I will tell you how I ended up writing the book. Excuse me. I woke up one night and said, you know, people don't know if they're sick or not. It was a big thing for me. I lived in downtown Boston, and I walked around quite frequently and just would look at people and go, are you okay? And, you know, and I'd have varying answers, and people actually answered me. So I always thought that was rather weird. But the thing is that people have a tendency, and they also have told me when I gave them specific questionnaires to fill out, you know, an assessment, is they would leave portions of this assessment out that I gave them, which would tell me what was going on with them in the health snapshot right now. So, you know, I always went, well, why is that? It always took me like an extra half hour, you know, in having a conversation with somebody to be able to dive deeper into the area, because usually they're avoiding it for other reasons too. So what I did is I took the questionnaire that I had and I wrote it in street language so that an 11-year-old kid could take it and be able to answer and be able to have a conversation about it. So what it does is it patterns out, you know, all your organ systems. And so a lot of doctors, and I've been to them myself, they, you know, they have you fill out a sheet going, well, how's your lungs? How's your respiratory system? You know, like, how are you, you know, have any problems with urination, constipation, diarrhea, things like that. But this book is very specific. There's a lot of questions that dive deep in each organ system. And then you got to take a look at how the organ systems are related, because it's like a Swiss watch. And so when a piece of a Swiss watch breaks or is wearing down, then the whole function of the whole unit of the watch slows down also, or it gets broken. And so if on the premise that the brain controls and coordinates all functions of the body, then what happens is that, and it goes to every cell, organ, tissue, you know, then when you have one organ system that's faltering, then it's going to, like, lead into another organ system that's faltering, you know, because it's going to follow suit. So a lot of times people, you know, when I'm as a Chinese doctor also, I, you know, people would have colds, and first thing I would ask them, you know, listen to their respiratory system and ask them questions. I said, so how often are you urinating? You're urinating a lot more, right? And they're like, how do you know that? And it's really clear, right? And so it's just like, you know, putting, you know, like all those pieces of the, you know, puzzle together, you know, and you're looking for the component that's not there, you know, and, you know, and then addressing what the weakest link is, which is your highest score, you know, in the questionnaire, and then making a roadmap for somebody saying, here's where you're at. You know, it doesn't matter what your diagnosis is. It matters what you're doing in your own environment, in your home, and how you're moving forward, and what kind of foods you're eating, and what kind of things you're drinking, and what kind of things you're thinking. You know, because you want it, they all have that one component together, that's inflammation. And, you know, so if you can target where that inflammation is located in the body and you can fortify that organ system, then the other organ systems, when you fortify that one that's weak, also helps balance out the other ones.
So it's really interesting because, you know, it was predicted in the late 1800s by Karl Marx, who wrote the Communist Manifesto, that the industrialization of and the creation of assembly line, that over time it was going to create everything into assembly lines that would end up destroying the family and institutions. And I mean, he made these very bold but accurate predictions about all the places where we fall apart. I always say, dear God, let me not be, you know, be at my toe doctor and have a heart attack, because he'd be like, well, not my area.
Just well, die. You know, if you're, so, you know, I just gave a webinar yesterday and I gave an example. And the example that I gave everybody was that when your house is on fire, you know, who are you going to call? And you call the fire department, and they come with their axes, which is surgery, and their hoses, which is medication. And they come in, if you want to have that big paradigm shift, they come in and they hose everything down. They break through windows. They break through doors. They do it all. And they say, hey, didn't I do a great job? You know, and then the carpenter, me, the CSI agent, you know, and you know, the woman who has to do, my goal and my job is to help you thrive and not suffer, you know, and or do no harm. You know, then I have to be as a carpenter going like, wow, there's a lot. This is a big mess. I've got to get this out of here. And so when that happens, you know, you're starting to, like, you know, fix and repair. So if you're going to have someone do a job, you know, and you just made an interesting point. It's like, you know, wouldn't order, like, you know, who else uses hoses and axes? Well, dentists do, but you wouldn't have you wouldn't call the dentist to put the fire out, you know. And if you look at things like the thing with Santec, you know, Nexium, Prilosec, you know, and the litigation issues against Santec, right? You know, when you're changing the gut is one of your primary organs in your body, because and people have, you know, knowingly or unknowingly, because they were never taught any better, you know, to eat foods that hinder their health. I mean, as opposed to promote their health, because you're either fighting the disease in your eating, or you are, like, you know, you're going for health. You're promoting it.
So, you know, I've been doing, you know, alternative healing and worked as a medical intuitive for over 30 years now as part of what I do. And it always amazes me the amount of misinformation or missing information that sometimes I'll send somebody back to their doctor with a piece of information about something they've prescribed or something that's going on. And the doctor goes, oh, really? I didn't know that. How can you not know what you, especially when I'm dealing with children, because I've done a lot of work with children along the way. Like, how can you be writing anything for a child and not know exactly what it does? You know, like, you need to understand that's the assembly line. You know? But go ahead, what were you going to say?
That's called negligence. Isn't it? I mean, happens, like, you know, when you have, I used to have patients that I would send, you know, like, you know, send, they would go to their doctor and it's like, what should I ask? And I said, well, I go, what do you want to know? And I said, you got to start at the end and work backwards. And I said, so you got to catch their attention about what your interest is. And if you can catch their attention about what their interest is, I said, then you got them. you know, but you got to ask the question. You got to use certain words that, like, you know, that make sense to them. And so tell me what you want to talk about, and I'll give you the questions. And then I'd see them, and they would just say, oh, I never got to it, Dr. Pat. It's like, why? Did he intimidate you? Or she intimidate you? And I said, I'll call him up. I'll ask him the questions for you. And they're going, really? I said, sure, I don't care. You know, and I said, but I need to have you there too, so they can hear your voice and that type of thing. So there's a lot of times I went to bat for my patients because they're given wrong information. And I had a patient one time that kept saying, I just don't feel good. I don't feel good. So where'd you go so far? What kind of tests have you done? And so I just said, you should go see my OBGYN in Boston. And so I'll call up and get you in there because I think you should get in there sooner than later. She was having issues. Well, when my OBGYN called for the records, this woman had stage 2 cancer from the cervix that was spreading into the towards the bladder and towards the rectum, and they missed it. I'm going, like, no wonder you don't feel good, you know. And it just like, what a, you know, what a big surprise that was, because she was there the next, you know, like within 24 hours she was in OR. You know, and I said, this is amazing. It just totally blew me away. I said, like, how could they miss that? I mean, it's in their lab report. It's like, it's right there. It's black and white.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's that hyper-focus, looking for certain things instead of looking at the whole picture, getting all the information. And, you know, and again, like you said, I think medical advocacy is so important. And in fact, I do some stuff with medical advocacy, and I have at times had to be a medical advocate for myself. And I'll tell you, the last time I was in a hospital, they threw me out early because they hated me so bad because I challenged everything and I kept on stopping them. And I said, no, you need to explain this to me. No, excuse me, you work for me. No, excuse me, that is unacceptable. And they were like, you don't get to say that in a hospital. I sure do.
You know, I was in, woke up one night with chest, I was had a really strange way I had my neck, and I woke up with, you know, medial chest pain and with it radiating down to my elbows, and I called my girlfriend up. I said, I haven't been in the hospital since I worked there about 25 years ago. And so I went in, and this guy goes, you know, you should stay for observation. And I said, well, you know, and first off, the cardiogram didn't work. They had to, like, they kept on changing it out, and they kept on waking me up, and the woman snored so horribly next to me that, my God, this woman is really sick. And then, you know, when the person came in, the cardiologist in the morning, I actually know him, I knew him, and I still know him. You know, he goes, what are you doing here? When I saw your name, I'm thinking, is there two of you? And I said, well, they really highly suggested I stayed here, but I'm so exhausted, I'd rather go home and die in my own bed. And so, and he said, well, he said, let me just pull one more set of blood. I said, how about if you pull it and I leave? And I said, because I'm leaving here at 12 o'clock. So I know after 12 o'clock, you can charge me for an extra day. And then they ended up comping the whole ticket for that experience. And I kept on asking the interns that were working, they kept on asking me the same questions like every 2 hours. And I said, are you guys getting credit for this? Because if you're not getting credit for it, I'm not participating anymore. I really want to go to sleep. And I said, I need earplugs. Do you have earplugs? And they hate me too when I go in, when, you know, I've had a mammogram where I question something that they were showing me on a screen. I said, well, how long has that been there? You know, and they said, well, that's been there for, you know, let me think, like 6 years. I go, nobody bothered to tell me. The lights went down. He turned the lights on. The lights on the view box went completely off. And he goes, we're done. And he got up and walked out of the room. But, you know, it's just like people, this in the sick model of medicine, you've got to ask questions. You've got to be willing to press the button and you advocate for yourself, you know, and have some clue of what, you know, perhaps you were talking. And if you don't, you need to hire it out. It's so much, it will save you so many headaches doing that.
Well, and that's a good question is, do you know, because like my hospital visit was a few years back. It was, and I was in Phoenix, Arizona living at the time. And I knew the questions to ask because years of being a medical intuitive, and actually finding people along the way that I worked with that were doctors and nurse practitioners and everybody. I mean, like, I've had my little group that all respected my medical intuitive, because I always gave them something that they could work with, that you know, showed them something they weren't seeing, that my intuitive would see as I would talk to the body, the disease, the illness, find out what it had to say. And so I knew some questions, I knew some things, and I knew to push back. But I don't know of any advocacy agency, unless you're getting some kind of special services, that you can call and say, I want a medical advocate that talks to me and understands what my concept of my healing plan, I want it to look like, and make sure that those questions. Do you know of an organization like that? Because I don't.
I don't, you know, and I always say, you know, when I'm introduce my book, I always say that you can use this book as an advocating tool, because it will show you exactly where your weakest links are, so that when you go into a facility, you can talk from a point of knowledge, as opposed to saying, you know, like, you know, why are we doing this test? You know, why? You have to be willing to ask that why, but I don't know anybody. And, you know, it might be like a really great, you know, add-on service for like a concierge service. And that's what, you know, I think would be like an ideal for people who, you know, just gave me a really great idea, Kevin. You know, is to, you know, to create into a concierge service. It's like, you know, hey, you need a concierge service to make sure that your back's covered and somebody's got your back. So they ask the question. So, because if you ask the right questions and you use the right verbiage and you get the answers, you get the right answers. So you're making decisions based upon, you know, real time information, as opposed to, you know, like asking, you know, something, and I don't even have an example of this, but, you know, asking like something, you know, like, well, how long is it going to take, you know, to recover? They always tell fractures are like 6 to 12 weeks. I mean, or 8 weeks, or, you know, I've heard all you know, sorts of things, you know, that is different. But people, you know, they can, you know, because they, and, you know, the thing is that you say this, it just brought up a point. Like, and I lived in D.C., the biggest thing that I saw that was disturbing to me was how complacent people were. You know, and so when people go into doctors who don't ask questions, they're very complacent. They're trusting that all the information that they're getting is the right information.
Well, and,
drives me crazy.
I tell people, I've said this on this radio show numerous times in the last 15 years, and I said, teach all my patients and my clients and everything is, you get to coordinate your staff. You may have to fight for it, but you get to coordinate who your medical team is. And if you're going to have an MD, you have to make sure that it's not an MD that is a minor deity, but an MD that is a managing director. You know, mm-hmm. I have a primary care physician right now, and he knows what not to recommend because I'm never going to do it. And
right.
Respect that. And they are out yep. there, but you have to fight for it. We are going to be back in a minute with Dr. Pat and talk more about why are you fat, sick, and tired.
The Real Conscious Connection. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for School Girls Project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Vox Novus, the new voice. Vox Novus, the new dimension. Vox Novus, thought and movement leaders who will share from their experience and offer tools to help us navigate our rapidly changing world. My name is Victor Furman. Join me every Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio for Vox Novus, the new voice.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Why are you sick, fat, and tired? Find out now. Go get Dr. Pat's book. You can find it on Amazon. I got the title right this time. My dyslexia didn't kick in. And I realized I kept on alphabetizing it because FST, fat, sick, and tired. But it's actually sick, fat, and tired. And since I don't have a copy of the book in front of me, I couldn't read off of it. So I was like, I said it and I went, I think I did it backwards. One more time. Why are you sick, fat, and tired? Find out now. Dr. Pat's best-selling book on Amazon. And if you want to ask questions to help determine what is your health level or, I don't know, whatever you'd like to ask of Dr. Pat or me, Dr. Kevin, you are welcome to do so by calling in at 202-570-7057. Again, that's 202-570-7057. So, Dr. Pat, of the stuff that's out there, and we both have our war wounds of stupid things that we've had people that are going to take to the grave, and sometimes the stupid thing puts them in their grave, that they absolutely believe because their doctor said it. Even if it's wrong, but their doctor said it. So if it kills them, well, the doctor knew what he was doing, right? But what do you think are some of the biggest misnomers, biggest things that drive you crazy that you really, at this point, because this is the segment that we call What a Load of Crap, things that are going to make people stop and go, really? That's not healthy for me? Or really, that's not normal? That's telling me that maybe there's another issue? Well, there are a few things that you could throw out that are going to make people go, I need to go get this book.
Well, you know, if people want to find out where they're, where to focus on for their health journey, the book's the perfect book to do that, because if you wouldn't go to a foreign country that you've never been to before without getting a guidebook. And then when you go internally, you know, and looking at how things are functioning, and if they're functioning at 100%, you just don't know that, then you can find out exactly where that weakest link is at, and you can address that weakest link. And so, but the thing is too, like, you know, the big things about what people don't, you know, understand or don't know is that a lot of people just don't care about their health. They say that they do, but they don't take any proactive steps to go back to basics, not put the cart before the horse, because there's no magic pill out there. I mean, people are always feeling like, you know, I can shorten things down, and I go, hey, here's a biohack, here's a motivational biohack, here's a health hack, you know, to get you started, to get you going. But you got to have the pieces of the puzzle there in order to be able to do that. And so many people are trying to look for the quick fix, you know, get to the end of the story. There is no process, does not require time. So, you know, people who think that there's that magic, you know, pill out there, you know, or, you know, they're taking some, when they take something, they realize it's like the Swiss watch thing. If you're taking, you know, your melatonin and you're taking it during the daytime, you know, for instance, someone told me that one time and I said, why are you taking it then? And why are you taking it anyway? Like, why do you have to take, you know, melatonin to begin with? I'm not sleeping well. Well, what's going on? You're looking at TV, radio, your computer, your telephone. And are you, you know, do you use specific, you know, like glasses so you don't have that, you know, the blue light effect? And, you know, what's your bedroom like? You know, what's the temperature of it? You know, are you, and can you get a handle on your thoughts? Because if you can't get a handle on your thoughts will undo anything that you do to get rid of toxins in your life and clean your house out and using the right chemicals in the backyard, you know, for your gardening. And so if you, when you start looking at, you know, things, it's just like I was at an Airbnb one time and this guy put a styrofoam container into a microwave and hit it on 2 minutes. I was gasping. I thought, and he goes, where are you going? I said, I got to go outside. I don't want to watch that. It bothers the heck out of me to see people kill themselves in a very slow way. And so a lot of people just like, and they put, you know, things together because it's simple. And just because it's simple doesn't mean that it's doable. And, you know, and the things about like how they eat and the food choices that they choose and putting those pieces of the puzzle together, you've got to take a look at where you start at the very beginning. And then how well you're detoxifying, because everybody in the United States has had exposure to heavy metals, and especially if you grow up. And you're, you know, and part of the baby boomers, because they all had mercury in their mouth. And that leaches into your, you know, into your system. And heavy metals are a huge problem. You know, they have your chemtrails, you know, with uranium and barium and things like that in it that kind of just float down to the earth, you know, and those, they finally start to dissipate. I remember when I was a kid and I saw, you know, a trail out of a plane, it would seem like it'd roll up right after it. You know, but that doesn't happen anymore. So people, you know, are just not conscious. Like I will give you a really good example of a Roundup thing. I was in Florida doing clinical rounds at a chiropractic school down there. And when I was down there, I was walking my dog and this guy was outside with this white container and spraying, right? And so I said to him, hey, what's in there? And he said to me, Roundup. He was a guy from the South. And I said, wow. I said, you know, that's carcinogenic, that stuff. I go, you know, we've all heard and seen these, you know, commercials about, you know, calling your attorney, you know, for things that are related to, you know, glycophosphates. And so he said to me, well, as long as you don't breathe it, I said, you don't have a mask on, number one, you know, or the right kind of mask that you would need for that, because people who are around those kind of chemicals have those, you know, like, I can't remember the name of their specific type of suits, you know, and if they're out someplace spraying and they have those on, why, I mean, like, and you have to get the idea that insecticides, pesticides, herbicides, they kill stuff, and they kill the things that they're landing on, they also kill you, ultimately, you know, so it depends upon what your toxic load is. So, at any rate, so this guy's standing there, and he's looking at me, and he's about ready to spray me, I think. And I said, well, you know, there's dogs that walk by here, you know, and their noses are right in the grass. Yeah, and then these two little girls came running out the door, and I said, are those your grandchildren? He goes, they are. And I said, well, they're running with their bare feet right where you sprayed. And I said, 65% of what goes on your skin goes in your body, you know. And he just turned around, and he walked away from me as fast as he could. And I said, you could use vinegar soap and water as a weed killer, you know, and not kill your grandchildren while you're at it. Anyway, I was just so dumbfounded. I'm going, I can't believe people. And I can't even believe that Roundup is still sold at Home Depot, Lowe's, and other places. I was in there the other day and thinking, when I saw that, I said, why is that still on the shelf? You know, lobbyists and, you know, that kind of power that you're talking about in D.C. But it just blows me away that, you know, people have this, you know, I'm going to die of something anyway. Well, that's not exactly well, you are going to die. But, you know, it's in my family. Well, how come some people in your family have whatever it is and other people don't? You know, but I always say it's like if you keep on eating like your parents ate and how your grandparents ate, then you are going to have whatever your parents had, and that so you're going to perpetuate that, you know, that it's in the genes, that type of thing. But you can change your constitution, you know, by changing the quality of the foods that you have, you know, and the quality of your thoughts and the quality of motion. If you want to think better, feel better, move better, there's venues to do that, you know, and, you know, chiropractic, osteopathic, you know, and working with somebody who's a lifestyle medicine, you know, specialist and, or, you know, functional medicine person, as long as they are doing functional medicine. So, because some of them just, they use it as a title.
Well, you know, one of the things. No, actually, it didn't, but that's okay. There were some great stories. you asked.
Thanks. Okay.
You know, I think that sometimes there are no quick fixes. There's no magic wand. And I don't know that anybody that listens to this show on the regular basis would ever tell you that it was. But I do know that a lot of my audience are more alternative based or more spiritually based. They are, you know, they're somewhat educated in this stuff. And they are people that buy these kind of books, that look for this kind of information and want it. And so when I say, is there one thing that you think that a lot of people get wrong or misunderstand that maybe is out in popular alternative mythos, and ask you to share that, which you never did, I am looking for them to go, oh my God, I really need to get this book. This woman knows something I've never heard before. And so I don't know where the question got lost, but it turned into something completely different, because I'm trying to get them excited about what's in the book and not just be told, buy my book. Can you get them excited about your book?
Well,
can you give them one thing before the show's over that they wouldn't know, that would be out there that most alternative people are getting wrong from your
perspective? People don't know. People don't know what's lurking below the surface. So you can have, you know, you can have symptoms or not have symptoms, but people don't know what's lurking below the surface. So if you're looking at your immune system, like that was so important during COVID, although they never really addressed it, you know, if you knew what organ system was taxing your immune system, wouldn't you want to fix it? Wouldn't you want it to address, like, what can I do to improve that organ system? And how does that relate to other organ systems? Because eventually, you know, your immune system is going to falter if you don't take care of yourself and don't take care of it at a core level. And why would anybody want to wait till they're in crisis? I would rather know now, you know, so that I can do something proactive to go from point A to point B. So what the book gives you is it gives you that information. And it also gives you the ability to, you know, where knowledge is power. And also shows you how to stack that knowledge. Because if you don't know how to stack the knowledge and how to take those next best steps, then what happens is you get stuck and you get paralyzed, and like a confused buyer doesn't buy.
Yeah, during the time of COVID, we did a lot of shows bringing in people specializing on natural ways through food and things to address the immune system, to help support the immune system, the importance of it. Obviously, we don't toe the normal line here. I know one of the things that I see is one of the biggest abuses out there is people, you know, they go to a number of different alternative health providers and they end up taking 74 different supplements instead of 74 different medications, that the supplements fight with each other. And I oftentimes in my practice run by the fact that people, part of their illness is supplement exhaustion.
Absolutely. And it's the same thing like going into a fine restaurant and coming back the next day you're hungover and you didn't have anything to drink. Because there's herbal types of things that they use for cooking that fight with each other. You know, and they give you it can give you that same feeling of being, you know, having a hangover when you haven't had anything specific to drink. To that would make that, you know, as an end result, you know, but I totally agree with you with that.
Yeah. And, you know, and then there, you know, there is a great disservice done by this one size fits all detox kit that you can get at every major health food store and Whole Foods and everything else, which to me does more damage than good, because you keep I love what you're saying about systems. And it fits right in with all the information that I've always got about how when I as a medical intuitive looks at somebody, where do we start? What makes the most sense? What is the order? And it's not the same for everybody. It depends on what's impacting them, their environment, you know. And there's this whole question, which I'm sure I'm assuming you ask, that I always ask if I'm working with somebody, which is, tell me what you're willing to do, because I don't want to waste my time giving you something you're not willing to do. And what you're willing to do tells me how much you're serious about getting your health forward. But tell me, and let's start there, because maybe if you see a little improvement, then maybe you'll be willing to do a little more. Sometimes people need breadcrumbs.
Well, my question is, I always ask people how their health has been in the last 2 years, because a lot of people can basically check into that. And my second question is, if you knew what to do to be healthy, would you do it? And so when people don't, and people hesitate sometimes on that, and I just say, like, we're not a match. You need to go, when you're serious about moving forward, then we can have a conversation again. But I don't want, I want people to be successful, and I want to be able to support their success in their health, by taking, especially in the mindset. We didn't really talk about that. But, and the mindset component is huge, because if you don't fix that from the get-go, it's always a struggle. And then sometimes you're thinking, why is this person not getting better? And if you don't address it when those things come up, and being an intuitive, because I have a lot of that ability also, I sometimes have these incredible breakthroughs with people that it's like we don't even talk about food anymore. We talk about what's really bothering you from when you're 8 years old. You fix that, you fix their life.
Dr. Pat, so thank you for coming on the show. Dr. Pat, why are you sick, fat, and tired? Find out now, and you can find it on Amazon. Thanks, and we'll be back next week with the Power of Poetry show here on the Dr. Kevin Show.
Thank you, Dr. Kevin.